Just a quick note, the boiler is out in the, for the educational wing. So the educational wing is a little chilly right now. So it's not the boiler, it's the exhaust fan that's out. So we're trying to locate one, or if you can't locate one, they'll have to do some modifications to try to get it working again. But right now the boiler is out in the educational wing.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everything going? It looks like we're a little light up here today, and I've heard a lot of sicknesses going around, and a lot of people, I know that that's part of the reason why we're short on people. Short on people is never a problem. We want them to get well, but we also want to make sure that anybody who comes, we do something. So, unfortunately, you'll have to listen to me today instead of Haley, because Haley's out sick herself. As well as I've heard a lot of other different people doing the same way. So thank you for coming and doing that. Prayer concerns today. Do we have people with prayer concerns? Go ahead. Bobby and his family need prayers. I've been seeing those on prayer concerns as we bring them up. Is Emily still better, or is she getting better? Angie and Emily are both sick. That's Joan's daughter and granddaughter. So Joe had it, Chris has had it, and other family members have had it. Amen. The hatred that's going around. Yes, go ahead. Sure. Having a mammogram. Go ahead. Pray for your kids. And you. Yep. Harper, their
great niece.
Right. Great niece, and then families all around are being touched by that, unfortunately, right? I know my daughter Angelica thinks that she's got something going on with her, and she's been having some pain, thinking maybe kidney stones. Marcia, I apologize. I gave her your number so that she could call and find out if there was anything else she could do besides what she's doing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come here today to worship you, but we also understand that this flu and the things that are going around are affecting lives and putting people down. And we know that you're the great healer and the great physician, and that you can handle all things that are coming around. But sometimes you do these things, or these things are happening to us, so that we can slow ourselves down. And during that time of slowing down, maybe we can focus more on you. And so we ask prayers upon all those in this congregation, families of this congregation, that you would touch their lives and that they will be touched by yours. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, bless the praise band today. Bless the congregation as we worship you. Bless Pastor Haley. Again, all those that are sick. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that you was made for more? You know, in Christ, we're to be the light for him.
Our greeting today is taken from Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in the way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul.
Yes, let's give the Lord a praise clap. Yes. Yes. Amen. We should all be striving for that closer walk with the Lord. He is my King. You are my King. And amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today to worship you, to sing to you, to give praises to you, and to give gifts back to you. And we thank you for those gifts given today. We ask that you would touch them and make them grow for your purpose here on this earth. So bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I saw the light. My uncle told me, now I have to believe him because he's never lied to me before, but I had an uncle that told me that no matter what, sometime during the day, you will see the sun. Now, there's some dreary days that seems like it's dreary from the first thing in the morning till the last thing at night. But then I got to thinking, there are pockets of in the clouds that sometimes that light shines through. And it's telling you he's here for you, and he's going to warm your heart just by a glimmer of that sunshine. You know, you go into a dark cave and you light a candle, and what happens? A completely dark cave, and just that little, maybe the lighter or whatever, shines the whole place bright. His light to shine on you. I don't know if I've done this before. If I did, I apologize. But a German theologian named Martin Luther said this: I have held many things in my hands, and I've lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Amen. So I pray that you will find some inspiration in the words and put your trust in God today, because God is faithful. Amen. Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to encourage us to open our Bibles and look at His words. Inspiration in His words. That's the Bible. Amen. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today and ask that you allow our minds to concentrate and focus on you. This is the day you, Lord, have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in all that you do for us. You know us better than anyone else. You see and hear not only what we say and do, but know what's in our hearts. Fill our hearts with your love and encourage us to share your love with the world around us. Open our hearts to be with your never-ending, unconditional love this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we grow closer to spring or nearer to spring, we watch for your beauty and new life that sprout up flowers from the cold and often snow-covered ground. I was out in the front of my house the other day, and I'm seeing the green sprouts come up through the ground. I put this in my sermon, didn't see them before, but he proved that to me yesterday when I was outside. Also, God takes the dreariness of the cold and bare leafless trees and allows buds to pop out and new life to take form. This point is true about people too. I read a short writing that reminds us how to be kind to those around us and share the beauty of God's love like the flowers from the cold ground and the life-like buds on the leafless trees. It's entitled "Advice from the Garden: Cultivate Lasting Friendships." Sow seeds of kindness. Listen to sage advice. Don't let little things bug you. Take time, T-H-Y-M-E, for yourself. As far as sowing seeds of kindness, the Bible reminds us to be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's from Ephesians 4:32. Our first scripture today is taken from the Old Testament, Jeremiah. Jeremiah began prophesying and was chosen by God in 626 BC. There's no record of exactly how old he was, but some theologians believe that he was between 18 and 20 when God called him to serve. Jeremiah was a prophet for the people of Judah and Jerusalem during the reigns of their last five kings. Jeremiah was known as the prophet of the new covenant, predicts Judah's Babylonian exile and ultimate restoration under the Davidic Messiah. What's the Davidic Messiah? It was a pivotal and unconditional agreement between God and King David, through which God promises to establish David's lineage forever, to bring forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ, from his descendants. So Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10 reads, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched his mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. God called Jeremiah to his service. Jeremiah, like Moses, claimed inability to be a prophet. God nevertheless made him his spokesman. And when Jeremiah said he was too young, the Lord immediately denied his objection. Youth and inexperience do not disqualify when God calls. He equips and sustains those he commissions. God's promise of his continuing presence, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you," should calm the fears of even the most reluctant prophets. The Lord doesn't promise that Jeremiah will not be persecuted or imprisoned, but that no serious harm will come to him. When the Lord touched his mouth, either as a prophetic vision or mouth itself, he shows the relationship God has with his prophets. The scripture does say that Jeremiah will be a prophet of both doom and restoration. You heard that when I read, "Appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear them down, to destroy and overthrow." That's the doom part. "To build and to plant." That's the restoration part. The people of Israel were heading down paths of destruction. God knew it and sent Jeremiah to reprimand them and point out to them their evil ways. Our Bible reminds us, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow." Stay true to yourself and don't feed into evilness of this world. Those who bring sunshine to the lives of others cannot keep it from themselves. Do you know that an oyster that has not been wounded in any way cannot produce pearls? The pearl is a healed wound. Pearls are a product of pain, a result of a foreign or unwanted substance entering the oyster, such a parasite or grain of sand. The inside of the oyster shell is a shiny substance called nacre, pronounced N-A-K-E-R is the way it sounds like it because it's a long A, but it's actually spelled N-A-C-R-E, also known as mother pearl. When a grain of sand enters, the nacre cells go to work and cover the grains of sand with layers and more layers to protect the defenseless body of the oyster. As a result, a beautiful pearl is formed. The more pearls, the more valuable the oyster. God never allows pain without purpose. What if your greatest ministry to others comes out of your greatest hurts? The hard things we may be going through now are really nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed later in us. Romans 8:17-18. Our next scripture is from Psalm 71. It describes on how God hears pleads from the aging King David. King David, a man of God's own heart, goes to God with all of his wants and desires, but never forgets to praise God for all the things God has done for him. Psalm 71:1-6 reads, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." Grace is when God gives us good things that we don't deserve. Mercy is when he spares us from the bad things we do deserve. Blessings are when he is generous with both. You heard that, right? God gives us good things that we don't deserve, spares us from the bad things we do deserve, and blessings are when he is generous with both. Truly, we can never run out of reasons to thank God. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is wasted. Therefore, today, let us be kind to ourselves, to one another as we are working together, and to those who enter the sacred place seeking healing and restoration. Our next scripture is from the New Testament Gospel of Luke. Luke 4:21-30 read, he began by saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed of his gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They ask. But then Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly, I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows of Israel at Elijah's time, when the sky was shut down for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, a region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them were cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian. All the people of the synagogues were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of town and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So what angered those men in the temple that day? Do you know? Jesus started out by reading the scripture from the scroll and sat among them. They spoke well of him at that time. Then Jesus changed his focus. He mentioned the reference of God helping 2 non-Israelites and reflects Luke's special concern for the Gentiles. Jesus's point was that when Israel was in rebellion and rejected God's messenger of redemption, Elijah and Elisha, God calls non-Israelites to receive the covenant blessing that were properly Israel's. This is what aroused the anger of the crowd. Jesus later healed a gentlewoman's daughter in this region. Luke did not explain whether Jesus' escape was miraculous or simply a result of Jesus' commanding presence. But for sure, it wasn't his time to die. His time had not yet come. I read a story that made me really think about love and kindness. As I was pulling into work, I was following this car. The sign on the back of the window said, learning to drive a stick shift. Sorry for any delay. Knowing this, I was patient with their slow shifting, and honestly, they were doing pretty well for still learning. Then I asked myself a tough question. Would I have been just as patient if the sign hadn't been there? I can almost definitely say no. We don't know what somebody's going through. We don't wear signs that illustrate our personal struggles. You don't see signs taped to people's shirts that say, going through a divorce, or a lost child, or feeling depressed, or diagnosed with cancer. If we could read visually what those around us were going through, we would definitely be nicer. But we shouldn't have to have signs to see and have reasons to treat people with kindness. We should do it anyway, whether we know what is going on or not, whether they deserve it or not. Let's give everyone an extra dose of patience, love, and kindness. The golden rule works well right here. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Our final scripture comes from 1 Corinthians. In the first part of the scripture, Paul selects 4 gifts. Tongues, prophecy, faith, and giving as examples. He declares that even their most spectacular manifestations mean nothing unless they're motivated by love. I'm sure part of this scripture is familiar with you, and you've heard it at many weddings. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13 reads, if I speak of tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the completeness comes, what in part disappears? When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became man, I put away ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul uses hyperboles. Even if he could speak not only of various languages or human beings, but even the languages used by the angels, if he did not speak in love, it would be nothing but noise. The word love in Greek, agape, indicates a selfless concern for the welfare of others. It is like Christ's love manifested on the cross. Paul continues that even if he is gifted with ultimate knowledge, if he does not possess or exercise the knowledge of love, he is nothing. When he talks about faith that can move a mountain, he is referring to special capacity to trust God to remove and overcome overwhelming threats or insurmountable obstacles. God's love for us should never be questioned. Even before we were born, God had his hands on us and formed us as a unique individual that was created in his image. God sent his son to this earth as an ultimate gift to us because he loved us so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It is now February, the month we celebrate Valentine's Day, a day that we celebrate love. How do we show our love to others? Do we give it all unconditionally? Do we follow the example of helping each other through the rough times of this cruel world? Do we treat everyone with kindness, even if they don't have a sign on their back telling us what they're struggling with? When Jesus was asked what it was the greatest commandment, he answered them with this: love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and soul and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Agape love. A selfless concern for the welfare of others. God is love. We need to share it with others. There was a featured hymn in the United Methodist hymnal when I go through the lectionary for scriptures. It's written by Philip P. Bliss. It says, some people were born with a gift of words. When coming from their mouths or pens, words are tremendously powerful. They bring good news and bad news. They make us laugh and they make us cry. They can build people up or they can tear them down. Philip Bliss had a gift for words. His story was incredible. The writer of hundreds of hymns and poems, he grew up mostly in Pennsylvania. He had very little schooling through age 10, and then he left home at the age of 11 to make a living for himself. He worked mostly in lumber yards and logging camps, but despite the rowdy environment that he lived in, he became a regular participant at Methodist camp meetings and revival services because of the strong faith that his parents had instilled in him. By the time he was 18, Bliss had completed all the requirements to receive teaching credentials, and he took a job as a schoolmaster. From that point, Bliss' path began to cross with many of the best-known Christian evangelists, hymn writers, and composers of the time. He received a voice instruction from J.D. Towner, a guidance from William B. Bradbury. He met D.L. Moody in a revival in Chicago and was invited by Moody to become his music director. Bliss turned the offer down, and Moody teamed up with Ira Sankey instead. In the years that followed, Bliss would combine with Sankey to prepare a collection of hymns. A month before his untimely death at the age of 38, Bliss was approached by Horatio Spafford, a writer of the song It Is Well With My Soul. At Spafford's request, Bliss composed a tune for that famous hymn. From a humble beginning and unlikely surroundings, Bliss used his God-given gift of words to share the message of salvation in a way that few others can. This week's featured hymn focuses on words. They are beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Enjoy these words, a gift from God to Philip Bliss, a gift from both of them to all of us. If you don't remember the song, I'll read you some of these verses. Sing them over and over again, wonderful words of life. Let me more than their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Again, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely giving, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echoing the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. May God's wonderful words of life bring joy to you today and every day. Amen. I'd like to close my sermon with a song. What did we talk about today? We talked about love and kindness and all those things. We talked about this is February, the time for Valentine's Day, a time to celebrate love. But it shouldn't only be February where we celebrate that love. It should be all times. But I also told you who was the ultimate teacher of love? God, Jesus Christ. That's what this song is about. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's called Champion of Love.
Gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you in this corner of the good and the right stands a champion robed in white, his height exceeds the heavens, his weight outweighs the world, his reach reaches everywhere, his age is ever. I would never
I've sang this thing so many times that all of a sudden my mind just went blank. So I apologize for that. But he is the all-time, undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Leave here today and share God's love with those around us. He's given it to you, and it's there for everyone. But there are people in this world that just have never had that and don't understand that. They don't see that the blessings come from above. What is love? Agape love? It's not worrying about yourself. It's not doing it for your reasons, but it's doing it for God's reasons. Unselfishness. Go out and share his love today and this month that has Valentine's right in it. Amen. Have a blessed day.